Amen. Let us remain standing for scripture reading. For today's passage, it comes from Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20, chapter 2, 13 and 14, and chapter 8, verse 34. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters, please be seated. Let us put our hands together and invite Reverend YC on stage.
Thank you. Good afternoon, church. And I wish you and pray that God's blessing be upon you, your study, your relationship, your work, your family, and all that you do. May you multiply in the glory of God. Today, as we start off the new year, we're going to revisit a very familiar theme in our faith, the theme of discipleship. So for the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about the pathway of discipleship. What does it mean to be disciple? Probably all of us have our own answer. But today I want to challenge you to some very radical thinking of what discipleship is all about. When Jesus called his disciples, he said, "Come, follow me." What does it mean to be the disciple of Jesus? The word disciple actually means apprenticeship. You know what's apprenticeship? Apprenticeship basically is someone who has agreed to work for a skilled person or an expert for a particular period of time and often for low payment in order to learn that person's skill. So the intention is not earn money. The intention is to learn the skill. So be with the master for a period of time so that you can acquire the skill so that you can continue whatever the business or the career is. So in Chinese, it's like 拜师学艺, you know, this Kung Fu master, you know, Bruce Lee or Shaolin Shi or what, you know. Then you kneel before the Shaolin Temple for 3 days and 3 nights until they open the door, accept you as a disciple. Then you learn the Shaolin Kung Fu. And it's very similar. Apprenticeship is that you commit yourself to the learning at the expense of your own, right? And you are actually under the care or under the command of the master that who accepted you as his or her disciple. So just like a cobbler, apprentice or intern in today's term, you know, how they learn how to mend a shoe and make a pair of shoe. My grandfather comes from Guangdong, so his skill is a cobbler. So his job, his profession is a cobbler. So we have a small little shoe shop back in Malaysia. So I remember, my dad told me, and I know this uncle. So we are a small town, but there are other villages. There are people live in the other more, you know, it's called a suburban area. And there's this young man in his early teens. He had not much study, and you know, he wants to earn a living. So somebody introduced him, whether my grandfather wants to take him in as an apprentice. So my grandfather agreed, and he was with us, maybe at the age of 15, 16, all the way until the day he died. So it's like part of my family. He didn't get married. We become their family. You know? We like his children like that. So apprentice is a come, and he lived with us, he learned the skill, and he become the sifu, you know, of how to mend and make shoes. And same, in the New Testament, we know Paul. How does Paul get his knowledge? Somebody had to taught him, right? Somebody had to teach Paul how to, you know, interpret the Torah, you know, the law. So under the study of the Pharisees' teacher, the rabbi, Gamaliel, that's how he learned. So today, you and me, you go to different school. You know, you want to learn swimming, you look for Andre, right? So Andre will teach you how to swim very well. Okay, and other thing that you want to learn, you look for a sifu, some expert, so that he will teach you how to do. Right? So a disciple is a Christ follower. And what is the purpose of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? You say that, I just want to be a believer, not a disciple. So we just want to be a freeloader, we say we're a free rider. Okay, Jesus Christ become a supplement. It's not the core of my life, but it's a supplement. Just like, you know, I have my own food, I eat whatever I want, but my cholesterol is a little bit high, so I take some pills so that it will keep me healthy. So I take some supplement to supplement my life to make me healthy. So is Jesus Christ a supplement in your life? Or he is the staple food of your life? So, to be a disciple is that you really want to be with Jesus. You want to be Jesus because you want to be like him. You want to become like Jesus. You want to do what Jesus did. And that's the whole purpose. So, I hope that, you know, if some of you come to know Jesus because, oh, I just want to get all the blessing, the peace, the joy, so that I'll pray and answer my prayer and solve all my problems. Yeah, God can do that, definitely. But God wants us to do, want us more than that. He wants us to be like him. So I pray that God will put this desire in all of our heart, our young people's heart, that truly that you want to grow up to be like Jesus. You want to grow up like Jesus. Say to the one next to you, I want to grow up like Jesus. Don't say like that. You speak with not much conviction, is it? Never mind. After 40 minutes, hopefully you have that conviction. Okay. So the first thing that a disciple must first is to let go and leave in order to follow Jesus. You want to follow Jesus, you have to leave and you have to let go of something. Now, in the Bible verses we just read, Simon and Andrew, they left what? Okay, when Jesus said, come and follow me, and once they left their nets and follow him, they left something. And how about James and John? They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired man and followed Jesus. How about Levi? You know, the one, the tax collector. He said, when Jesus said, follow me, he got up and left his job and follow him. In other words, when we want to follow Jesus, we must first let go and leave. And today you want to, and in this world today, you seldom you hear message about letting go, let go and to leave something behind. Most of the time you hear message that you have to get more. In this life, you need to get more, get ahead. You have to accumulate more, more things, more toy, more money, more pleasure, more recognition, more award, more degree maybe, more rights, or more position. So you must exert your right. And more excitement. Go to more escape room. You know, more excitement. Whatever. You have to have more. And all this more thing will truly kind of occupy your life so much and you get so tired. I will talk about that later. So this is what the world is telling us. You need to have more. Used to be 11/11 big sales day for Shopee, right? Now every month you have 1st of January, 2nd of February, 3rd of March, after that Valentine's Day. They try to make as possible every day there's a sales and daily voucher available for you, you know, free shipping, whatever. Now even better, you can go to our next door to collect. No need to go back home. I just realized it, you know. By the way, this is, if you want to buy anything from Shopee, you can collect next door. Priscilla. But anyway, more. You want more. You want more. You want convenience. You want more convenience. You want all these things. But Jesus said you must first let go and leave. All this in order to follow me. So today I want you to ask yourself, in 2025, and after so many years or the time that you've been with Jesus, what God wants you to let go and leave in order to follow him wholeheartedly? Ask yourself. You maybe have accumulated a lot, and probably some of you still want to accumulate even more. But what God wants you to let go and leave to follow him? I can give you some suggestion. Just as a suggestion you can think about. It could be the idol in your heart you have been always wanting to be. Could be the pride. Could be the fear of losing out. Can be the right that you always wanted. You want to exert and your autonomy. You realize that when the disciple followed Jesus, Jesus become the master and they become the servant of the disciple. So they take all instruction for Jesus. Where Jesus go, they go. Where Jesus stay, they stay. What Jesus eat, they eat. You cannot say, I don't like this. I go opposite the road and eat roti prata. No, we eat together with Jesus. Then Jesus choose to stay in the town and say, no, I don't like this hotel. I want to move to another town. No, they stay with Jesus. You see that discipleship is not about convenience. Discipleship is not to do discipleship to learn at my term. Discipleship is to learn Christ's way in Christ's term. That is what discipleship is about. So it's not that I define what Christianity. Christianity need not our definition. Christ defined what is his followers supposed to be. And that is the mold, and that is a way that we need to follow. So being his disciple, literally man, leaving life behind and following him around wherever he went. That's what I said. Right? So, be with Jesus. So you want to be with Jesus, then we slowly, if you want to follow Jesus, then we get to know him. You need to spend time with him. And there's some called spiritual discipline, you know, in a modern context. Say, okay, how can we get to know Jesus? There's a way to know. Just like you want to know somebody. Yeah, there's a way to know somebody. If this one didn't like to play tennis, have a certain sport, you cheer him to go and play tennis every week, you know, Saturday evening. Then through the conversation, through the playing, you get to know the person. Or this person like to makan. You always go and makan with this person. Then you get to know something. Or this person like to talk about a certain topic. Then you have the same interest, and then you can start a conversation. You get to the conversation and to the interaction, you get to know the person. So we get to know Jesus through spending time with the person. Okay, and a certain thing that we can do about it. So to be with him. Why to be with Jesus? So that we can become like him. So I pray that this is our desire, that we want to become like Jesus. We're just not going to become Christian. We're going to become like Christ. Right? So, there's one thing that is very important when we let go and we want to leave so that we can cling to Christ. And we want to see that what's Christ like. In order to know somebody, we need to spend time. And look at Jesus. He spent time when on earth. He spent time with his Father who is in heaven. And often you realize that in the gospel, they recorded a few times, quite a number of times in fact, that Jesus went out and prayed. For example, in Mark chapter 1, he says that very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. I spoke to someone the other day. I'm thankful that the person, say, he make a more like a decision, or not try something, that this year he want to wake up early so that he can spend time praying and reading the Word of God. I said, that's wonderful. Go. Yes. Do it. Yes, I encourage the person. Do it. Yes, that's a wonderful practice. And then in Luke 5, he says that, you know, Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. But what is the context of that? The context is that when the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. In other words, at the peak of his ministry, many people come to Jesus. Many people want Jesus. Many people want to receive the blessing, the healing of Jesus. And Jesus can do all that. And Jesus can meet all the need. So imagine if you are Jesus, what would you do? You spend all the night healing people. You spend all the night teaching, all the wonderful teaching to them. But Jesus, in spite of that, he what? Often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. When you serve in ministry, where is the place whereby you receive strength? Where is the place that you replenish yourself or you fill up your own bucket? What do you do? Spiritually, what do you do? And this is the time where Jesus spent time praying alone and withdrew from the crowd so that he can be alone and praying. And same in other chapters and verses, it says Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spend the night praying together. So the whole night praying together. And Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, bringing the disciple with him, Peter, James, and John. And then in Luke 11 it says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Why is it that the praying is important? In the quiet time or the quiet praying time with God alone is important. It is. And I was preparing, I was reminded of a little hymn, a little song that I was taught when I was a very, very young Christian, maybe just a year old. And then this is one missionary from Scotland who came to our fellowship and he began to sing this little song, almost like a children's rhyme. And I begin to catch the thing, and I remember until today. And it goes like this. When the wondrous grace of Jesus, my Lord, fills me with serenity, and I'm resting in him, that's when his spirit works in me. Wonderful. When the wondrous grace of Jesus my Lord fills me with serenity, and I'm resting, resting, resting in Him, that's when His Spirit works in me. And that is the time when you spend a quiet time with God. That's where, as if that externally nothing may happen, but inside your heart something changed, something being transformed. So wonderful. So I encourage you, all you, don't think that, no, I spend the time, nothing happening. Something is happening. No one can encounter God and remember and remain the same. So believe that you encounter God at the moment you're willing to draw near to Him. He promised that He will draw near to you. If God draw near to you, you cannot be the same. So I pray that we are in. And Henry Nouwen, some of you may know him, a good writer, passed on recently. He was a professor at Harvard University. And he left his job and become a caretaker of a adult home, whereby, you know, people are paralyzed, mentally challenged kind of people. Those, the residents are in their 40s, 30s, 50s, and he need to take care of them. And one person only can take care of a few, because these people, this resident, they need a lot of attention, a lot of your time. Sometimes it can be 24/7. And he left his, as a professor in Harvard, and he took on this job. And he said that without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. But some of you may contest and say that, no, Pastor, I never practice solitude for so many years. I'm still okay. Well, I still serve in this ministry, serve in the ministry. I can still lead a Bible study. I can still in a cell group. I say, yeah, you did well. By the grace of God, you do well. But imagine if you are not doing that part of the solitude and you can still perform. Imagine if you spend time more with Jesus, what would happen to your life? Will be even a greater blessing for others. So basically, you're using the only $1,000 that God has given you, but actually God has given you $10,000. You only use that one talent, and you think that, wow, the one talent can do so much. I don't know all this. But where's the four talent that God has given you? You have hidden it. You did not discover it. So when you do that, you realize that your influence is small. So when you come before God, you give an account. It's not for the one talent. It's for the five talent. And you need to give an account of the four talent that you still keep it hidden without you knowing. So come before the Lord and you will discover how great a blessing and gift He has given us. So let go and live so that we can follow Jesus and be His disciple. We need a time of silence, the solitude and focus. And I encourage all of you, short term, set aside for this year, set aside a little time each day for silence and solitude. It can be on MRT, it can be on the way back from your school, it can be sitting on a bus, it can be waiting for a friend at a bus stop, anything. Or take a stroll at a park, or after dinner, or go to bed slightly early, 10 minutes early, lying in the bed, thinking about the day and give thanks to God and commune with God. You can do that. Just put aside a small little time, 10 minutes. In fact, we just started, we say that pray for the church, right? We want all of you to participate. Just choose one date. January all the way to December. So we started for the Q1 first quarter. So January, February fill up. So now with some slot in March. Choose any day within that month and spend 10 minutes. Any time of the day, 10 minutes. And pray for the church. And if you do that for the church, I want you to do that for yourself as well. Do that for yourself, then for the church. Right? So you can do a lot of things. Okay, Sunday, you can dedicate this time for the Lord. It's a Sabbath day for you. And then solitude and silence. And you can pray. Pray can be verbalized and can be just quiet moment with God. And why you have tried quiet moment with God? Whereby you just come before the Lord attentively with God, but you not speak anything. And God did not speak anything either. And it's just silent communion. Have you ever experienced that? Okay, later we'll listen. We'll see what Mother Teresa have to say. Fasting. Okay, I take upon myself that this year, every week I want to have a day that I will fast and I'll concentrate on prayer and reading His Word. I've not been doing that for a long time, honestly. So I repented. I said, this year I want to start doing that. Scripture reading, the BRP. Take on. If you fail last year, never mind, continue. If you need to read one chapter, never mind, continue to read. Read until the day Jesus come. Remember that. Read until the day Jesus comes, not read until the day. Yes, and then meditate on it. Meditate. Your loving kindness is better than life, and my lips shall glorify your name. Meditate on it. These are the meditation verse for this Sunday. So remember, when you try to focus, you want to quiet, sometimes it's very difficult because there's a lot of noises in you. And you say, oh, it's so difficult. Don't do it. As if that you cannot overcome the law. It is not the law. It's just a habit. How many of you, while you're singing just now, your mind was actually zoning in and zone out. And while I'm talking to you now, you look at me, you also zone in and zone out. While looking at your digital Bible and suddenly something message pop up and you just highlight the WhatsApp or look at what's on offer on Shopee or whatever. Whatever it is, we have this. Right? We have our own weakness. But you continue to practice and it will yield a very good fruit in your life. Okay, Mother Teresa say, I don't say anything, I listen. God doesn't say anything, He listens. Have you experienced that? You've not experienced that. You don't know what I'm talking about. I pray that you will try to understand by practicing prayer quietly with God. And you begin to understand. He comes before God. Sometimes you ask yourself, if the Bible says, even before we open our mouth, God knows our needs, then why are we asking still? As if that God don't know that tomorrow your exam. As if that God don't know that you just recently have a heartbroken relationship. As if that God don't know that you are sick. He knew. But God still wants us to pray. Yeah, we tell God. So that we can know Him. But sometimes, that's beyond words. The Spirit, pray within us, groan within us. In Romans you say, because you don't know how to pray. To a point you don't know how to pray. Or sometimes you just don't feel like praying. You just want to come before the Lord. Maybe we are too tired. I don't say anything. I listen. God doesn't say anything. He listens. What a wonderful communion with God. And when we let go, we leave, and then we have to silence the solitude, and we have to focus, and we learn to declutter and unbusy ourselves. Singapore is being characterized by three things. First, Singapore are busy people. Singapore are tired, a bunch of tired people. And Singapore are sleep-deprived nation. These are all statistically proven, right? We are living in this environment. You and me are living in this environment. So how can we declutter and unbusy ourselves? Right? So for long term, I would suggest that you simplify your life down to what really matters. You don't have to have every account, Instagram, TikTok, Telegram, WhatsApp, WeChat, whatever it is. You don't have to have every single account on all these social platforms, right? So, simplify your life down to what really matters. Slowly cut out all the extra, unnecessary activities. A lot of activity in life is unnecessary, you know. I know some of you, it's very boring. You just wait for somebody to cheer you for some activities or so. You're waiting at home. Paisei to call somebody, say, just hopefully somebody initiate and call you along. Then you're so happy because then your afternoon is not that boring. Any one of you in that mode? Even adults sometimes, right? Don't know what to do. So I pray that God will continue. No, so that our life is not driven by people filling up our own schedule. That our life, we know because Christ, we know what we need to do. I pray that as Christians we should know what we need to do. If you don't know, read His Word. He will tell you what you need to do. So cut out all those unnecessary activities and add gradually and add in the practices of Jesus. Spend some quiet time. Pray for somebody. Visit somebody in need. Send a thank you card. When you remember somebody, say a prayer. Text somebody and comfort somebody. Somebody have a need. Do something. Don't just wait there. Look at Netflix and wait for somebody to call you out for dinner or whatever. Right? And I like this. This person, Rich Villardos, he says that our souls were not created for the kind of speed to which we have grown accustomed. We are living in a very high speed, a very fast environment. The Intel chip have been, don't know to how many, what, Intel 7 now? Intel 9? I don't know. Keep on going. Even, I realized that, my handphone is more powerful than my laptop now. Seriously. Even faster than my laptop. You can do everything on your handphone, actually. You need less and less of your notebook now, more of your handphone. Everything is so fast. I just share with them, maybe some of you are practicing this. When you listen to something on YouTube or some lesson or whatever, you play back 1x or 1.25x or 1.5x. How many of you? You want to play 1.5x so that you can finish the 40 minute, 30 minute. Everything went fast. So subconsciously, you are getting to very fast. So if somebody come to you, want to share something with you, want to talk very slowly, you are very impatient with this person. Because you've been getting usually accustomed to the speed. So if they're running at not speed, you get agitated. You get agitated because they're not running at the speed. They're not speaking at the speed that you want. Where's patience? Subconsciously, unconsciously, your patience is being eroded by your own practices. That's why you need to re-practice that. The practicing the way, okay? You are going to study the book. So remember, the world is running at this speed. Doesn't mean your soul is running at this speed. Our soul are not created at that speed. So that's why Jesus take the time off to pray. Went up to the mountaintop and pray. So you need to find your own sanctuary. Where is the place, the time that you should withdraw? Time that you are gadget free. Put your phone outside of your room and go into your room and then you do something. Right? Keep it away. So is that a time for you to disconnect from the very speeding world around you? We need that. Even in your family, sometimes you need to be detached from your family so you have a me time. You know, you talk about me time, right? Your me time is me and my handphone. That's called me time. Me time is not me and your handphone. Me and God. That's your me time. When you have that me time, you find that your life will be transformed. And practice that. Try in this year, okay? Remember that. And I like what this William Postle, he's a president of the Theological College in Kentucky. He said this: it is unlikely that we will deepen our relationship with God in a casual or haphazard manner. There will be a need for some intentional commitment and some reorganization in our own lives. But there's nothing that will enrich our lives more than a deeper and clearer perception of God's presence in the routine of our daily living. That's why you need to craft out time daily for your solitude, for your reading. A time that's set aside, a sanctified time for God and you. Right? So it's unlikely that we will deepen relationship with God in a casual and haphazard manner. English is Chinese, 随性随意. Today I feel like it. No, you are run. Your whole life run by emotion, run by feeling. Today I feel like it, I do it. Today I don't feel like it, I don't do it. Today I feel like going there, I go in there. Today I feel like that. I feel like holiday, straight away I buy ticket, tomorrow I fly. Yeah, you can do that. But you want to deepen your relationship with God, that will never work. When you go to school, even in P1, you know, the school starts at 7:30, end at 1:30, let's say. You cannot say, today I don't feel like going at 7:30. I like to finish my Octo cartoon and go at 10 o'clock. Huh? Can or not? Try and see. Will I write lines? I will never late again. I will never late again. You realize that even in our very study, you are not suka-suka, haphazard, casually. Go according to your feeling and your flow. Yes, there are certain serendipity of it, but then your main core of your life is shaped by something that you do continuously, your habit. That's shaped your life. So in your study, same thing. In your work, same thing. I thank God that for the first 9 years of my work, I was working in a factory. And the factory is very strict. And we need to punch card morning when you go in. The moment you are late by a minute, because these are all digital clock, the moment you know it hit the time, it just won't open the gate for you. You just cannot go in. And the guard will come out with a ticket. Okay, ask you for your employee badge. Write down your name and your employee number. And they know which department you are. And there's 3 copies. One is 2 carbon copies. One copy go direct to your boss. One copy go to my department head. Another copy go to the HR archive. After that, you realize you don't want to be late. You don't want to be late. So it's unlikely. So if you think, we want to deepen relationship and seriously deepen relationship with God, then we have to craft in certain intentional commitment. And some reorganization is required, mandated. Not casual, not haphazard way. Look at people that have been haphazardly following Jesus. You say, oh, I'm not doing all this, but I'm okay. As I say, you are just living on the scums. But Jesus doesn't feed us with scums. He feeds us with feast, great feast. Are you feasting on Jesus? Your life will be very different. Right? So, I encourage you for the 2005 prerequisite action to follow the Lord. Committed. Committed to the service. Don't say, ah, today I don't feel like coming to church. Don't come to church. Make it a point that I will enter His gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His court with praise. Every Sunday, I will enter His gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His court with praise. That's how you position, how you make yourself. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Yeah, you're not lived by feeling. Feeling is just a reflection of what's inside you. But you have a master who is the Lord of your life. Listen to His voice, not just your feeling. And then commit to a cell group. Because without the commitment to the cell group, and then you have to do your PDP, right? This is talking about the PDP. So you have to commit. If not, you cannot grow. You will not learn much. You just tag along. You're just a free rider. You're just feeding off other people. But your life doesn't have the depth. Your life doesn't have the significance that you're really longing for. And one day you realize it. So sometimes it's sad to see this question happen. 20 years, 30 years, and you see their life is just like that. It's sad. It's sad. Because that's not what it's supposed to be. It's not what it meant to be for us to be like that. Okay? And then study the Bible. VRP, I say, no, you can take it very light. I'm glad that they are just doing New Testament. Yeah, if you want to finish New Testament this year, you need only like half a passage, half a chapter a day. You can finish up. I'm sure all you can do that. For the 10 minutes you set aside every day, you can definitely do that. And then pray. If you don't know how to pray, start with the RPG so that you pray, learn from that. After that, you learn all your own quiet time of prayer. And I'll just use this to hang up and before I end this, Dallas Willard says that the general human failing is to want what is right and important. Absolutely right. But at the same time, not to commit to the kind of life that will produce the action we know to be right and the condition we want to enjoy. This is a feature of human character that explains why the road to hell is paved with good intention. How many of you say amen? I say amen. Because I was also one-sided. A lot of good intention. The book they've been wanting to read, they've been on your shelf collecting dust for 5 years. Good intention, but never put in action. So we intend what is right, but we avoid the life that will make it a reality. So our faith is real. So you have to show to the world that your faith is real. Your faith is real. Your life is real. So make it real then. So that don't just live with good intention. And that's why Jesus in Mark 8:34 says that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny yourself. Because you need to deny yourself. You need to reorganize yourself. You need to change. You need to deny your fleshy feeling. You need to deny. Without that, it's impossible. If you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and you follow me. I'm glad for this year, for our adult group, you know, all the DGL have to read this book called Cultivating Your Inner Life by Edmund Chan. A very good book. Not very difficult to read. But something that not just reading for knowledge, but reading and practicing it. And also for the youth, they say Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. A very good book. Hot sale in Amazon. You can just Google it. Right? Practicing the Way. How do we practice in the modern time? Our faith, living out our faith. And then for the YA, this year they're using Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. So all these three books, we should cut across from youth all the way to adult. They're dealing with external or internal? They're dealing with internal, with your life. The life with Jesus and the life with others. So I'm glad that we pray that, you know, all of us, as we read and we practice, you know, the church will truly be a healthier one. Your life will be a healthier one. Your cell group will be a healthier one. So after that, then we can say we can become like Jesus. Then we can learn and being transformed to be like Him. At the same time, we say that being sent to be fisher of men, do as what Jesus did. So, in summary, when Jesus gives the invitation, come follow me, he's not asking you for a trip or for a journey alone or visit some nice place, eating some nice food. He's asking you to live according to his step and his footprint. Will you want to do that for this year? Make a commitment to yourself. I invite the worship team to come forward. As you sing this song, I want you to pray to God. As you sing it, make it also a dedication of yourself to God. Say, yes, Lord, I want to follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me. Help me to change this year, Lord. By your grace, be transformed from glory to glory.